Help. I was going to use this to time me so I didn't overrun, but it's not working. As Tim mentioned, I have been involved in helping the Learning to Serve course, which was run here in Highfield. That's because, despite my accent, my wife and I and our family have been based in Southampton for many years. We're missionaries supported by Above Bar Church. And actually, until quite recently, we lived round the corner. I mentioned this to Graham this morning, and he said, "Oh, I never knew you lived in the parish." And then someone who shall remain anonymous on the church staff said to me, "I'm glad you've moved away." That was because our dog used to attack her dog. I hope it's nothing personal. As Tim mentioned, I'm director of Wycliffe Bible Translators in the UK. And just before we get into the sermon, a little bit of publicity. I was in Burkina Faso a few weeks back. That's a country in West Africa. And I got talking to a chap, a Burkinabe guy, and he said to me that one of the most formative experiences of his life was when he was visiting a missionary in the evening. And that missionary broke off talking to him and said, "I've just got to go and pray and read the Bible with my son. He's going to bed." And the son was going to bed, and the missionary sat down with him and read a Bible passage to him. Now, many of us would have read Bible passages to our children. Nothing unusual there. And when the missionary had finished reading the Bible passage, he put the Bible down on a bedside table. And this Burkinabe was absolutely gobsmacked. He couldn't believe it. Quite simply, because he didn't have a Bible in his own language. This missionary was treating reading the Bible, placing the Bible down, as something everyday, something perfectly normal. And for my friend, this was something he just couldn't do. So what he did was he sought funding and sought encouragement, and he went off and he trained as a Bible translator, and now he is leading a team of four people translating the scriptures into his own language. And he told me, "And we are working as fast as we can so that I can have a Bible before my kids grow up, because I want to read it to them." There are 200 million people speaking 2,000 different languages who as yet don't have a word of God in their language. That's the end of the advertisements, but please come and talk to Sue or I. Sue's the nice one in the pink, I'm the unpleasant one in the blue, in the hall, and ask more about this, or come back this evening. Could we have the PowerPoint? I really don't like the idea of seeing myself on screen. Does anybody else get this surprise when they see themselves in the mirror and there's an old man there? I look in the mirror expecting to see a 17-year-old and I see this old bloke. It's terrifying. Very often, when people talk about mission, they talk about the Great Commission from Matthew 28 as being the verses that drive us to think about mission. And actually this evening we will be looking at those. But this morning I want us to concentrate and to think about what Jesus said was the greatest commandment in Scripture. If we can have the next slide. When Jesus was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" his reply was, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." When Jesus was asked, "What's the most important thing I can do?" he didn't say, "Go out and share the gospel with the world." He didn't say, "Become an evangelist." He didn't say, "Become a missionary." When asked the most important thing that we could do, he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." For Jesus, absolutely everything starts with the love of God. Next slide. And that means mission starts with the love of God. as a church, you're thinking about a year of mission, what should it be that drives you to be involved in mission? There are a number of things which classically push Christians to be involved in mission work. One of them is guilt. You get a good dynamic speaker who makes you feel really bad because you're not doing enough. I mean, I have to admit that there are times when I have been involved in Christian service because somebody had made me feel so bad I had to go and do something. Guilt can be a motivator. We can be motivated by the inspiring example of other people. You hear some of the stories we heard this morning. Superb. Makes you think, you know, I want to get involved in that too. Or you read a really good missionary book. Not quite as popular as they used to be, but the examples of other people can get us motivated. But mission must start at its most fundamental with the love of God. When Jesus was asked, what is the most important thing? He said that you must love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. In 2 Corinthians, when Paul is talking about what drives him to be a missionary, he said, it is the love of God, God's love, that constrains me. If you're sitting thinking what these people were doing, the gate, the basics bank, I couldn't do that. Can I just ask you very bluntly, is there something in your relationship with God that is not pushing you the way you should be? Are you loving God the way you should? It is the most important question I can ask you, and the most important question you can ask me. But next one. Love for God is an act. It's a gutsy decision. A day-to-day, moment-to-moment decision to follow God. We very often reduce love for God, or apparently, to a sort of an emotion. You know, we come to church, we sing good songs, the key changes are all in the right place, and we raise our hands and, you know, feel very close to God. And that's good. But it doesn't stop there. Love for God is a moment-by-moment decision to do what God wants us to do, to be led where God wants us to be led, to follow him. Jesus put it in these terms. I have the next one. If you love me, you will obey what I command. How do you illustrate obedience with a photograph? A border collie. You know, you've seen sheepdog trials and seen how intelligent dogs, not like mine, will follow what their master does. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. He doesn't say, if you love me, you will turn up at worship services. He says, you will do what I command you to do. So just in the brief time we've got, I'd like to look at two of the commands that Jesus gives us with relation to our mission. If you love me, you will obey my commands. So what does Jesus command us? Next one. I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Been hearing that this morning. You know, it's, as a speaker, it's always exciting when the things you're going to be talking about are illustrated earlier in the service. And God has just shown us some practical examples of these commandments being obeyed. I was hungry, and you gave me a tin of baked beans. You gave me some ketchup. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger. I was a student in a strange city full of odd foreign people. And you took me in and you welcomed me. I needed clothes, because I'm a bloke and I wear them out. And you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Next slide. Jesus calls us to be engaged with the needs of the people around us. He says there is a needy world out there. There are people who are hungry, who are thirsty, who are naked, who need food and drink and clothes. It was interesting, as I was pulling this together, I decided to look on Google Earth, you know, to illustrate the neighborhood and get a photograph. And that's more or less got Highfield Church in the center. And it's all green. There are hardly any houses, which says something about the part of the city this church is in. I mean, it is great that you're reaching out through the gate, through Basics Bank, to people who are hungry and thirsty, who are living in desperate situations. But actually, in your immediate neighborhood, one has to say that that isn't exactly what's going on in a lot of cases. But you know, in those nice middle-class houses, there are people who are every bit as desperate as drug addicts on the street. There are people who, through pressure of work, are finding their lives breaking up. Marriages breaking up. People who've got all the financial riches in the world, they're as comfortable as they can be with their money. But they are desperate and lonely and scared inside. There are needy people in the leafy lanes of Highfield, just as there are in the mean streets of St. Mary's. And God and Jesus calls us to be engaged with them, to be meeting their needs, to be helping them. When I was hungry, you fed me. When my marriage was breaking up, you sat with me. When I felt I couldn't take any more, you were there. That is what Jesus is calling us to do with the people around. Another commandment he gives, if we can have the slide. Oh, sorry, this is not the next commandment. I just love this phrase from St. Francis of Assisi. Preach the gospel and use words if necessary. Preach the gospel, use words if necessary. Our time, providing food, providing encouragement, loving people, is preaching the gospel. Next one. But there is more to Christian witness than just being nice to people, just caring for them. We've got to do that. But we're also called to be witnesses. What is the role of a witness? The role of a witness in a courtroom is to stand up and say what they have seen. I was proceeding along the street in an easterly direction and I saw the accused. The role of a witness is to give an accurate and a complete description of what they've seen. And our job is to give a witness, to give a description, to give an explanation of how we've seen Jesus Christ at work in our lives and in the world around us. Hopefully not by wearing a thing saying, "Prepare to meet thy God." Can I suggest that isn't the best way to do witness? If any of you are feeling to get out into the streets of Portswood and do that, I wouldn't recommend it. Next slide. Jesus expects us to tell people about him. We have to love them in practical ways, but we have to add to that consciously telling people about Jesus. Our witness, our Christian mission, must always get beyond showing practical love to also pointing people to Jesus. It's a bit scary though. Now the next slide. Because the place we have to do mission is out there in Southampton. It is great when Christians get together like this on a Sunday. There's been a buzz. It's been a good place to be. I've enjoyed myself this morning. Even before the service, it was nice. But where we do mission is out there. It's on the streets of Southampton. Our time together is time for equipping. Our time in prayer groups and small groups is helping us so that we reach out. Just think about it in pure practical terms. Apart from those who work here, the vast majority of the people from Highfield Church spend the vast majority of their time somewhere else. You don't live in here. You don't work in here. And our mission takes place where we are, where we are meeting people who are not Christians. Next slide. But though mission has to happen out there, it is something that we must do together. Sometimes the way we describe mission or the way we describe evangelism reminds me of an old cartoon that I saw of a First World War setup. There was an officer and a very scared young private. And the officer said, "Now, Perkins, it's time for another useless sacrifice." The idea that, you know, Perkins was going to have to go off on his own and be killed. And we picture mission like that. You're all together in church, everybody having a great day, great time, and then you have to go out on your own into that scary world and tell people about Jesus. You go from the safety of being in church out into the world, and then you scurry back in as quickly as you can to be among Christians. The Bible never pictures mission like that. Mission is something we do as a community. Now, for most of us, the places we work, we may be the only Christian, and you may physically go there on your own. But Scripture tells us that we should be accompanying one another in prayer, in encouragement. Perhaps your home group can't come to work with you. It would look a bit odd, you know, going into the office and your whole home group going in with you to stand praying. But when we go into situations, into work, when we're involved in Basics Bank with the gate, we should be going together because there are people praying for you. There are people encouraging you. We are committed to one another. There's a room here full of missionaries. And you are reaching out into what is probably the hardest mission situation in the world. Postmodern, post-Christian Britain. There ain't anywhere harder to reach with the gospel than the places you are. If you find it as difficult to witness to your friends, if you find it as difficult to get people to respond when you talk about Jesus, that's because it is. And we need one another. You know, it was great. I was a proper missionary. I went to Africa. And we sent out prayer letters, and we knew that lots of people were praying for us. But we have to get serious and be praying for one another when you're going to work in a university department, when you're working in a shop, wherever you are, when you're having coffee with your neighbours. We need to be praying and encouraging one another because we're in this together. It isn't all about individuals. It's about how Highfield Church reaches out to Southampton. Next slide. Jesus calls Highfield Church to love the people of Southampton. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. And the first commandment, or that he then says, goes on, love your neighbour as yourself. You can do this by showing practical love. You can do this by witnessing to Jesus. This is what he calls us to do. Last slide. What are you going to do about it? We've heard some exciting examples about what people are doing. There are others we could have heard. But all of us have to listen to the challenge of Jesus. He calls us to love the people of Southampton. What are you, each individual, going to do about it? All of us are called to love God with all our hearts and our souls and our minds, and to love our neighbours as ourselves. And if we love Jesus, we'll obey his commands. What are you going to do about it? Thank you.